This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yes.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
What was going through your mind just now?
Oh, I was thinking about my old roommate who used to scream sneeze, and I was getting legitimately angry about the amount of time I spent with people I didn't like in the 90s because I was on drugs and drink.
Maybe you were on drugs and drink because you couldn't stand the most of the people you were around.
I think that had a lot to do with it, and yet I felt very... fakely loyal or something, or like I was supposed to make it work out somehow. But if you're friends with the scream sneezer, cancel the friendship immediately. It's the most obnoxious habit in the world. Like, what happened to you that you need attention you sneeze?
My mom.
What happened to her?
I don't know, but she scream sneezes.
Wait, she listens. We can't talk about her anymore.
She's fine. Mom?
Mom.
She knows her. She knows what she fucking did to me in my life.
It is... Because it's this, you know your sneeze is coming if you're a scream sneezer.
Yeah.
I don't.
She's
so all of a sudden it's someone screaming.
She loves attention. There's no, you're completely right about that.
Yeah.
Like that's a connection.
Yeah.
Mom, I love you, but Jesus fucking Christ.
I mean.
She knows. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
Do you think a lot of people think that they just started this podcast accidentally, like skipped the beginning of
it
when really that was the beginning?
That was the beginning. We're trying new beginnings. It's called complaint. We're just a hard complaint at the top, angry complaining. Then we go into our pre-written intro. Go ahead, Georgia.
Okay. Hey, thanks for tuning in to My Favorite Murder. My name's Georgia Hartstark.
And my name's Ken Kilgariff.
And this is we've been practicing this for months.
We wrote it and then we sent it off to a professional editor. They sent back some suggestions.
Yep.
God, that was a great beginning of a podcast.
You're welcome for being fucking professional. That's why this episode's so expensive for you guys.
Yeah, that's right. Because of this amazing high quality writing.
Yeah. How much money we spend on
this. We don't even say. Have we said the words My Favorite Murder yet?
I think I mentioned it.
Okay, go.
Anyway.
Do you want to just kick right into Corrections Corner?
Absolutely. I have one.
Go ahead.
No. Because I do have one that I did. I fucked up last week.
Oh, well.
By not
Stop trying to steal my thunder. Why would you do?
So this mass shooting in Australia led to crazy strict gun laws, which is amazing. And everyone who messaged me was like, we thought that the Sandy Hook shooting was going to be the same incident.
Right.
And we think you're a terrible place because it wasn't. But here's ours. Here's this positive thing. And it's great and amazing. And we're all very happy with ourselves.
Did you tell them about our saltwater taffy? Because we can be pretty great when we try. Yes. Yes. There are people who have major problems getting guns to kill children specifically.
Wait,
yes.
The problem is they don't have major problems getting guns.
No, I meant they have problems in their lives.
Yes.
They are getting guns.
And however, it's very easy for them to get guns, even though they have major problems.
It's totally fine for them to get guns.
Let's talk about gun control.
Oh, yes. Who doesn't love to hear all about that?
All right. What's your corrections corner?
Mine is the simple fact that Peoria is not 3 miles away from Chicago, but 3 hours.
Who cares?
And I swear to fucking Christ, every single person in the Midwest texted and tweeted and told me about it. Personal friends, distant strangers, everybody who could possibly say it was and they were saying it as if I had said Abraham Lincoln was our first president. Excuse me, Peoria is not 3 miles away.
Karen, as the as the other half of this podcast.
Oh, yes.
I'm exonerating you from that yeah. needing to be a fucking thing for you to apologize for.
Sometimes when I'm reading off my Wikipedia printout, my eye will tell me something that isn't there on the page. Sure. That's what happens.
And like, okay, all right. So we're in Los Angeles. If someone said that at San Francisco is 3 hours from here, would you say no? Would you tell them it's 6 hours? And would it make a difference?
No, you know what I would do? I would withhold the true information and then I would gloat.
There you go.
Yeah. I would say I'm better than that person secretly.
Everyone needs just to be more selfish.
Yeah. They do.
There.
Gloat more.
Said it.
Talk to us less.
In episode 35, Karen and Georgia just became real mean. They just became big assholes.
It was weird. They went into gun control shit and then they just got rude. And that's when I said, I've had it. Here's a positive.
Okay.
Because it's not all like that with us.
Yeah, I have a positive too. Go ahead.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, my positive you know about, but let's fake and pretend like you've never heard this story before. So, Steven hasn't heard it. Steven, I'm not going to look at you anymore, George.
Tell Steven.
Steven.
Don't look at me.
So, I was doing something, working probably, and then killing time before I had to go somewhere else. So, when I have an hour to kill, I go to J. Crew or some such place where I can get a long sleeve cotton shirt.
Real quick, haters, this is not a fucking ad.
No, no, no.
J. Crew has paid us to do.
No. We're not sneaking an ad in on
you. No, we haven't done that yet.
We would
for the right money.
We're blatant. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They haven't paid us enough to sneak an ad in on you yet. Yet. So I go over to the Grove. If you are not, if never visited Los Angeles or not from around here, the Grove is like they
3 hours away from Los Angeles.
In 3 hours from the heart of Los Angeles is a mall that where they basically tried to make it if there was a small town where everyone was obsessed with shopping. And that's what the Grove looks like. There's a train or a trolley or something.
Yeah.
Gardens. So anyhow, I go into J. Crew, try to get myself a shirt. And the guy, the first guy that says, how are you? Or do you need any help? And I'm like, no, no, leave me alone. And then he asks me again. A little bit later, and I'm like, does he think I'm a shoplifter? I've worked retail. Yes. I know what this, you're patrolling me.
Yeah.
And then finally he came up and he goes, what's your name?
Ooh.
And I go, Karen. And he goes, what's your last name? And I go, what are you doing? Never tell them your last name. And then
what
he goes,
you doing?
Are you from the podcast, My Favorite Murder? And
I said, like I never-
yes. And then he lost his mind on me.
I love him.
And he told me, this is the thing that got me. So look, we are having some nice success with this podcast.
Yeah.
It's very, very exciting.
It's very exciting.
It's quite bewildering.
Yeah.
And it's just like a weird, it's just weird.
Yeah.
But I didn't think we were to the level of people recognizing us from a podcast at the Grove.
No. That's, the Grove is like the biggest, it's like tourists go there.
Yes.
It's like a big thing.
Mario Lopez does his show from there.
Mario fucking Lopez does a show from there.
It's a high end recognition spot.
Definitely.
So, Trey, who is the young man who is talking to
me.
What's
up, Trey? You think they're listening right now?
Oh, yes, I do. Because what he told me was that the J. Crew of the Grove listens to our podcast when they shut down at night and have to fold down the store.
Love you.
So he couldn't believe that no one that he closes with was there to see.
Do you think that they all think he's lying and now this is happening?
Well, girl, we took a picture to prove. And then someone wrote to the Twitter page and said, I can't believe I wasn't on shift when Trey met Karen from My Favorite Murder. And the whole thing was just this super cute. He was so happy.
Aww.
It just is so wonderful
to
see people that excited. And that was the cutest thing, Steven, is that at one point he was just asking me all these questions and stuff. And then at one point he goes, where's Georgia right now? I was just like, I honestly don't know.
That's so cute. All right. So we're going to do a personal appearance. We're going to do surprise drop in.
Oh, a J. Crew closing shift drop in
at the Grove.
Yeah.
Right now. And then everyone turns around to the door, but we're not there.
We're shoplifting. I'm going to go in there and shoplift and see if anyone says a word to my face.
You know they won't.
So deal with that level.
That's
Steven,
awesome.
Get on this level of fame that we're now all on.
Steven, you're going to get recognized next. Not me.
I hope so. No.
I'm waiting for someone to yell to me, like a transaction or like a thing, and then for someone to yell, stay sexy. Because, that's my dream, is that someone doesn't say they recognize me, doesn't say listen to the podcast, but when I'm leaving our interaction, our transaction, or whatever the fuck, a parking lot, they yell at me.
They do a shout after.
And I will fucking scream at the top of my lungs. Don't get murdered.
Will you scream sneeze at them? At the top of your lungs?
At the top of my nasal passages.
You know what's funny, though? Like, my friend Allison Agosti, who I work with.
Love the shit out of
her. She's the greatest. And I work with her, and I walked into our writer's room the other day, and there's like, you know, nine people in there or whatever. And she goes, I was listening to your podcast, and then I got all embarrassed and like shut her down, basically. And I later had to go, sorry, I received that incorrectly. I was like, it's that thing where like, it's super exciting and I don't want to overly be like, let's talk about it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Cause I'm, of course, I'm so judgmental of others that I'm positive I'm going to get that judgment back.
Well, I keep hoping my parents will then do it. And I can be like, no, it's a big, they don't care.
Right. Oh, my sister started listening.
Oh, right.
This is a miracle of all miracles, is my sister Laura is now a listener and constantly texting me things we need to do, things we need to say, stuff we need to talk about.
Older sister corner.
Yes.
Of how bossy older sisters are.
We should, for sure. She had some very interesting observations about the JonBenet special.
Hey, speaking of,
not to segue corner you right into what we're doing,
but let's take a casual, super casual, quick break. Did you just slip me off?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you lifted your middle finger while you were taking a drink.
No.
It was very subtle.
I actually flip people off like this, where I barely move my
outer two fingers.
And side fingers. Yeah. I just very slightly let my middle finger up. It's more feminine.
I just remember in elementary school, because everything got scrutinized and everything you did was stupid to everyone.
Yes.
That, like, the way you flip people off was made fun of.
Yes.
So I just got really good at doing it correctly.
So you do the one where it's two shorter fingers. No, you don't pull all your fingers down.
I pull all my fingers down.
You pull all your fingers down.
That is the proper fuck you.
Oh. Instead of this?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
This is California.
That looks like a cute little bird or something.
This is NorCal fuck you, where you kind of leave your surrounding middle fingers up.
They're like between the first and second knuckle.
This is so visual that we should not be talking through. I mean, it's insanity
Let's take a casual quick break and we'll teach each other our middle fingers.
Okay.
And then we'll come back. And you guys ready for JonBenet? All JonBenet all the time, Benet?
It's JonBenet time, everybody.
So let's do it. How many, there needs to be a code word for when we're not actually going to take it. Like, cause we always say, let's not do this. Let's take it out. But like, when do we mean it and when do we not?
Oh, you like it almost like a safety.
Yeah.
What do they call that during sex? Like a safe word?
Yeah. Because Steven gets confused and he goes to write something and I'll be like, no, just kidding. Leave that in. But
I take it as a challenge.
Yeah.
That's right. You,
Steven is the,
we leave this all up to Steven. He beautifully edits. Can you imagine if he just had to, like, the whole thing is this kind of insane bullshit, and then Steven...
What if Steven's our cult leader, and it's just whatever he says goes?
That's right.
No, I'm in the basement.
I have no basement.
We're in the basement.
This is like the Alamo.
And we're back.
Let's make jokes and stuff and then get into something real fucked up.
Well, people have been continually tweeting us since like the ads for the JonBenet special started, saying, can't wait for to hear what you guys say about all this.
Me too.
Then when I went to a TiVo it the other night, there were three choices.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you still have TiVo or do you just still call it that?
I call it that.
Okay.
That's my verb of that. Cause I'm not DVRing is stupid.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with the TiVo word. I just didn't know if that was still a thing.
If I had the actual brand.
Yeah.
No, I have DirecTV.
Okay.
As you must know.
Again, no one's paying us shit for any of this.
Shit for fuck.
Shit for fuck. If they want to give us fuck for shit, then they can...
Mark it.
They can email
us. Mark this, Steven.
But what's the safe word?
Scream sneeze.
Just kidding. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. You had multiple JonBenets.
There were three choices.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I don't know. When I am met with that kind of a life challenge, mm-hmm. which is choose which the correct made for TV docu-series about JonBenet's murder.
Choose your own JonBenet.
I like totally turn the channel. I'm like, oh, look, Father Brown's on. And then I just watch something. So,
oh, I forgot to fucking talk about how obsessed I am with our new I Want Your DNA Inside Me actor.
Who?
Rami
Rahm Emanuel. That's what I was going to say.
I know, I was too. And that's why I stopped talking. I was like, Karen will get it right.
I'm so into Rahm Emanuel. He's so dishonest. It's fucking hot.
I've been watching Mr.
Remy Malek.
Remy Malek. We'll talk about it next time.
Okay.
But I've been obsessed. Speaking of things I just don't want to deal with, and that's why I watch something, is my Mr. Robot.
Oh, yeah. That's a great show.
Dude. All right.
So, very good show.
I feel like we're desecrating the fucking memory of JonBenet by just not taking it seriously.
Look, there's no way. First of all, if we are, we're not the first, because watching these specials, for me, one of the overarching feelings was, this is disgusting. It's disgusting. Because they would show these pictures of her that intentionally do not look like a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Where you just go, what? The thing that I was surprised that they didn't talk about in at least the CBS one, which is the one I watched this morning on CBS.com streaming, had to join, pay $5.99 for a free membership.
What? Again, they're not paying us anything, as you can tell by the fact that Karen had to pay.
I had to pay money, and I'm mad because I did it going, I just need to get this taken care of. I'll cancel it later. I'm not going to.
No, you're not.
In 5 months, I will have paid them like $50.
Totally.
For never watching.
And they should be paying you to talk about them.
Anyway.
How cocky I've become. All right. So, okay. When I joked that it was a choose your own adventure, that is actually completely correct, because I tried to watch a couple of them, and every single one of them is so clearly with agenda.
Yes.
Pregnant with agenda.
Yes.
And some of them won't, and I won't say who and what, won't show the photos of her as a normal child.
Right. Because, yeah, that doesn't serve what their media message of what they're talking about.
There's a video of her that to me, and I wrote in the thing I wrote that, like,
for Elle.com.
Can I plug it? I just suddenly felt awkward about
that.
Do
it. Okay. Get used to it.
I'm not plugging it. I'm just how fucking happy I am. And I might cry from like how good it feels, because I started on live journal writing. I'm going to be honest. And I didn't graduate community college.
And you wrote two amazing articles for Elle.com that were so readable and so wonderful.
Thank you.
They're on our Twitter feed if you need to find them. They're great reads.
Karen, that means so much coming from you, because I think you're an incredible writer.
My friend.
And that means a lot to me.
And my sister said the same thing.
Oh my God.
And she's a teacher who kind of can't spell.
That means a lot to me. Who kind of gets?
Now that I know she's listening, I'm going to do stuff like
I would like to thank the editors of Elle for making me look like I know how to punctuate shit. Apostrophe S's will be the death of me. But they didn't. They made it not seem that way. Anyways. Oh, yeah. In it, I was like, everyone stop and go look at photos of her as a normal kid.
Yes.
Because it's a different fucking story. And one, there's this video of her that they show in slow-mo of her mom. It's her as a little kid. It's like a home video. Her mom is scratching the top of her head as she nestles her head into her mom's leg. Have you seen this?
No.
And it's just so sweet and human and reminds me of me and my mom as a kid. And it's this like goofy, sweet little girl whose mommy is comforting her and doing this thing she probably does a lot, which is scratch her head. You know, we all have this thing.
Very maternal.
Very.
Comforting thing. Now, was this before or after Patsy had dyed her hair blonde? Because I didn't know.
I mean, I saw that.
That it was dyed. I don't know why. And when the friend in the CBS one, when the friend talks about seeing JonBenet for the first time with dyed blonde hair and Patsy being like, no, it's just from the sun.
About it.
She lied about it. But then I thought, if she was murdered when she was 6, she must have had that blonde hair for at least a couple months, if not a year before, which means someone dyed a 5-year-old's hair blonde, bleached. I mean, bleaching your hair is disgusting. If you've ever had your hair dyed, women know. Mm-hmm. It's like a very gross, intense chemical process. On a 5-year-old? That's crazy.
Pageantry circuit, I don't think it's that weird, which she was in.
Yes,
which
except
is weird.
That was my point, is no one talks about that the pageantry circuit is basically a strange, weird commercial for pedophiles. And there's no reason you should have a 6-year-old girl dressed like an Atlanta heiress or Harris. There's no reason we should be seeing a little girl basically cosplaying an adult rich woman.
But okay, here's my thing with JonBenet Ramsey and the whole case is that I will argue the opposite of anything that's argued.
Yes.
Because there's such a huge argument, because there's never going to be any conclusions.
Yes.
And every single piece of evidence, and I wrote some of them down, has an argument for the other side.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what I kind of love about this, is because I really don't like being like, this is my opinion and here's the argument why, and I won't listen to you and your opinion. It's like,
I'm not doing that.
Not you. No. I mean, like, any other debate that people have.
Right. No, exactly. When people absolutely decide how they feel,
right,
and won't come off of it. No, I agree that in every other way, except for it unnerves me how normalized the pageant system is, where it's only little girls.
But that's the thing, is that it is normalized for certain people, including Patsy Ramsey, who was a pageant queen. And they're, yes, from the South.
Yes, true.
So
true.
It wasn't that weird to her. It wasn't like she was, in her mind, abusing this girl and dyeing her hair. It was like,
I don't think it's necessarily abuse. I just think you're putting shit on a child, a little girl, long before she needs to be dealing with it.
I completely agree with
so
all
gross.
Of it. I just don't. It's just like when people present, not you, when it is presented that there is proof that this is why she was murdered by the parents and how fucked up these things were. I just don't think they are, like, a lot of them,
I agree,
aren't.
No, I'm not arguing that the pageants prove they,
yeah,
did it. I'm arguing that that dyeing a 6-year-old's hair shows very bad decision-making skills and just a weird,
yeah.
But these are people that, like, I also didn't know they had two of their own planes. I didn't know they were the level of rich that they are.
If you're arguing that dyeing a 4-year-old's hair blonde is proof that this parent doesn't have the child's best interest in mind, and therefore it makes sense why she would have been part of the murder or the cover up. Then I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, should we get into this?
Yeah. We're in.
Do you want to start or? Are we starting now? Steven,
hit play.
Can you delete? Oh, man. I mean, okay. The CBS thing. And here, and one of the rules on our Facebook group is don't talk shit about other podcasts.
That's right.
And the hosts of the CBS show have a true crime podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Steven, why don't you go ahead and look that up? If you don't mind. I just think, so I liked them a lot, and I think they had the best interest. And I think they're integrity based people. I just think that the moment you are clearly going for a certain, what's the word?
Agenda, like
agenda,
an angle.
Yeah. You can't, like, the moment I saw that John Ramsey was being interviewed for one of the documentaries, I was like, I was out. Cause he wouldn't agree to do it unless the agenda wasn't
pro him.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
So what did you think about Burke Ramsey's interview with, I didn't watch it. I watched clips.
Oh, on Dr. Phil?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it either.
But you saw that he was smiling through,
yes,
a lot of it.
Yes. I think that Burke Ramsey might be on the spectrum.
That's what I thought too. I don't think it's fair to,
I don't think
smiling
any of this is fair.
Isn't a sign of anything.
No, that's nerves.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you have been around TV or done TV, mm-hmm, I've watched a lot of people act super weird on TV.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know, was that whole thing pre-taped? Like, there was no audience when he was talking to Dr. Phil?
Or, no audience.
Yeah. And I think I said this before, but the reason I didn't watch it is because I have a friend who's a producer on it, and she,
right,
was like, nothing came of it. They didn't reveal anything. So then I was like, oh, it's boring. But then a bunch of people started tweeting at us of, like, this behavior and all this different stuff.
It was definitely weird behavior, but
yes,
I don't think it was indicative of someone who was guilty or innocent, or you can read anything out of it.
Was it weird for a person that has two planes? I mean, like, this is a person that's lived
never,
in the world.
Literally never done an interview before in his life.
No. And probably never had to really be in the world in a real way in his life.
And so I think the reason this whole interview happened is because they somehow knew that the CBS documentary was coming out that kind of pointed towards him. So
yes,
this is like a quick, fuck, let's get this out before that comes out. So he maybe didn't even want to do it.
No way did he want to do it.
He's freaked out. Oh, God. Oh, my God. There's so much to talk about.
But he also, you know, there he's already suing CBS.
Is he really?
That's what someone told me at work today, because we were all talking about
Shut
it this morning.
Up.
Yeah. And because I said, everyone was talking about why possibly would they have reduced it from 3 or 4 episodes to 2. And I was saying it could have been a thing where they let them do it. But they said, because I'm obsessed, of course, with the pageant part and the... and any kind of it felt like they just dismissed any kind of sexual molestation or anything. They just dismissed it out of hand, which seems very unlikely to me.
I wrote that in the L article that it's like,
oh yeah, I'm ripping you off from the L article.
Can you not? I'm going to sue you for,
it was my idea.
I'm going to sue you for, what's it called when someone copies your shit?
Just copying.
Steven, make me sound smarter in that clip. All right. Okay. Here's the stuff.
Looking for the button.
I know. Your button knows. Here's the stuff I liked from that I didn't know about from the CBS show. I really loved. I love handwriting and linguistic analysis. I think it's fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
The fact that someone pointed out that no one would ever write that they were a small foreign faction.
Yes.
You make yourself seem bigger. You
right.
don't seem like you're a small little group of people.
Yes.
Very interesting. And also, no one calls themselves foreign.
Right, exactly. And if you are a band getting together right now and you don't name yourself small foreign faction, you're a fucking idiot.
I'll murder you.
Yeah.
Punk rockers, get on
it
that.
Together. I know that there was like all those things about the phrasing and the like, and sorry if I'm jumping on this on yours, but
it.
I was freaking out when they got to the part where the ransom letter quotes Speed.
I didn't know. Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry.
I didn't
like you. How? So if this is Patsy and John and they're covering up, you know, the one theory that they were really shoving in your face on the CBS one, if that was true, then they really think that they're so much smarter than everybody else that they can add in lines from the movie Speed and have nobody catch on.
They absolutely do. Okay, really quick. Steven was like, brought his phone over to me to show me a thing that I'd asked him, and I completely forgot what I'd asked him. So I was like, what is he? I don't remember what I'm... Okay, the podcast that the hosts of the CBS show do is Real Crime Profile, which I listened to. It's a great podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I agree. You know what? Okay, so let's start. You ready to start? What is your theory? Like, overall, like, what's your favorite theory?
Oh, I think it was Burke.
Okay.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant? Like, perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
How do we think? I think Burke got angry and didn't. I don't think he meant to do it.
No, I don't
hurt
either.
Her.
I think he wanted to hurt her.
Yeah.
I think that, but a lot of the stuff that they named that was like, oh, you know, God forbid that he do this or that is all stuff little kids do.
Totally.
Brothers and sisters especially are really mean and vicious with each other. So like a lot of that stuff didn't freak me out, because it's like,
yeah,
you hit your brother or sister with a piece of train track or whatever. My sister and I used to, I've talked about it before, getting into fights where you're being beaten with a remote control and shit.
The first time I got punched in the stomach was when I was like 5 by my sister.
Yeah.
Like that
standard thing. Because you, as a kid, you don't know how strong you are. You don't know how much it hurts.
And you're angry.
Yes.
And you have no parental supervision.
Yep.
I wrote in the article that our friend Kat Solon, her brother bears her childhood teeth mark scar on his body because they were so angry that they did that. Like, you just get angry at people.
But, and also it's the thing of, if he did that and he was super angry, and it does make sense that she's the little princess that gets all of the mom's attention, mm-hmm. and he was older. It would have been different if he was younger, but he's older, so he was used to having all of her attention, and then that got kind of redirected, which is very painful and awful. If he already was having a little bit of like developmental, or if there's just some issue with like he's a little slower, he's a little bit emotionally off, whatever it is.
Yeah, which a lot of things I read say he was a little bit of a weird kid, which I mean, I grew up with a weird kid. I understand that they're
weird.
Yeah.
Yes.
That doesn't mean they're
Here's the thing my sister said. She texted me and said, the thing with the feces is really bad. That's usually a sign of sexual molestation.
I know. The wetting the bed thing. So JonBenet wet her bed regularly. They said Burke might have too. That to me is hard because I wet my bed later than I should have.
I did too.
I sucked my thumb until like second grade. Mm-hmm. I was never molested.
Right.
So you can't just say that definitively.
No.
But the shit thing.
Shit is a much bigger deal, because even when you're little, you don't, it's not natural to, like, it was as if they were saying, and I don't know any more than what they presented on that.
Yeah.
But it was as if they were saying he like would shit on her stuff, or he would like
wipe shit
places. And my sister has been a grammar school teacher for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And she has a master's degree in like in developmental education, mm-hmm. or whatever. I'm not exactly sure, but
Steve,
I'm a big
fix
fan.
That in post.
Fix her degree. But essentially, this is what she does and deals with kids a lot that are going through this. And she was just like, that's bad. That's the worst thing she heard in the whole thing was anytime a kid is like got his hands in shit and he's not a baby.
Well, she had, this is the thing they revealed in the CVS thing, is that she had a grapefruit sized shit in her bed.
Right.
That sounds painful and fucked up and not normal at
all. No, like he was collecting it or...
No, that she just saved having to go to the... She was so uncomfortable going to the bathroom that she waited until she was in bed.
Oh, I thought he put it there. From what... Because they said the maid found it.
Right.
And I was thinking that he was like trying to wreck her shit because the other stuff
or
was...
Or make her look like a gross...
Yes.
Can I say that like I feel bad for Burke. in this whole thing.
It's very bad.
And then I read something, you know, I made everyone on our Facebook group and send us their theories and send us what they found that was interesting and their thoughts and everything. And one of them was that Burke actually doesn't even know that he caused that blow. He might have done it and they were like, go to bed. And he doesn't remember it. He maybe somewhere deep down does, but he doesn't know that he put that whole thing into action. I feel bad for this kid who clearly has some issues.
I think he knows something though, because remember that interview he has with the cop, and he won't say the
with
cop's
the pineapple.
Like, what's in the bowl? And he just won't say it. Like, there are those weird things.
He goes, oh. So in the CBS documentary, they show clips, which is like, I could watch this for hours, of Burke being interviewed by a psychologist or social worker when he was a kid.
Yeah.
The only time there was two times they let him be questioned. And in it, they're talking, and it's amazing. They show him a photo of the crime scene table, which has a bowl of pineapple out with Burke's fingerprints on it, and in JonBenet's stomach after she died is an undigested piece of pineapple.
Right.
And so the social worker, the psychologist, shows Burke a photo of the pineapple and says, what is this? Or shows him the bowl of pineapple, and he says, I don't know, it looks like cereal or something. And he says, well, what could that be? And then Burke goes, oh, like, he knows not to say what it is.
Yes.
That's weird.
But it's like a little kid thinking he's outsmarting someone.
Yeah.
And there's this, you're watching from this camera overhead. He also is in a very weird physical position in that chair.
He's very weird physically. He's very antsy in a weird way.
Yeah. But he gets down on all fours when he's looking at that picture. And I understand it's like a kid's way, like almost like child's pose.
Yeah.
But to me, in that situation, it gave me the creeps. Like, it was just weird. He was very stilted in his voice, but he looked incredibly comfortable.
Yeah.
It was almost like
chill. He was chill.
It was weird.
Okay. So, like, my theory, in my mind, the mastermind of this whole fucking entire thing, which is that Burke unknowingly hit her over the head or threw a flashlight through. Someone mentioned maybe he didn't actually like hit her, maybe he threw this flashlight at her.
Yeah.
And this happened and it was staged. In my mind, the mastermind of the whole thing is not Patsy, who is just being thrown out of the bus fucking completely in this whole thing. It's someone who's still alive, and so I'm scared to...
It's John Ramsey.
I really think John Ramsey is the fucking entire mastermind. And another thing I was thinking too is that, like, their interviews post... right after what happened are creepy and fucking weird.
The CNN interview?
All of their, like, them calling the press to give an interview. And you had mentioned it before that when someone asks Patsy, who's clearly on fucking Valium.
Yes. She's on so many pills.
Yeah. They ask her, do you think it was an outside intruder? And she's shaking her head no with her eyes closed. And the minute John says yes, she starts to nod yes.
Yeah. She goes into this weird circle and then tries to, like...
Yeah.
But she also does her... She's doing a lot of, like, long blinking.
Yep.
And it's almost like she just doesn't want to... She just wants to disappear.
Well, here's what I think. Okay. I definitely think Patsy wrote the note, the ransom letter. It's not a fucking note.
No, it's a 4-page letter.
I think Burke accidentally hit her. I think they conspired to cover it up, maybe with John being the mastermind.
Right.
I think he took her downstairs, JonBenet's body downstairs, to, you know, make it staged as a kidnapping. And I don't think Patsy realized the extent of how he covered it up.
Right.
I think she thought he'd put a pillow over her face. She thought she would be suffocated. But when Patsy found out the extent of what he did to her body, I think then she still had to go with it.
Yeah.
I think that's why she was so freaked out by it. I don't think she
that's
was like...
horrible.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And that's a horrible idea. Like, just that you would be put in that position as a mother.
Yeah.
The one that gives me more comfort, because it's so much less tragic, and it's based on that 911 dispatcher who suddenly was under a gag order for years and never talked to anybody.
And no one ever tried to interview her?
But here's the thing that's weird to me. No one ever tried to interview her, and she wasn't under a gag order. So when was the gag order lifted that she can be talking on this
documentary? I don't think it ever was. I think she was just like, all right, she's clearly just no
going
one's
for it.
I think once they exonerated
the Ramses,
it was just gone.
Well, what was interesting to me is she said that that moment where Patsy thought she hung up the phone.
Okay,
I never knew
about
that either. That Patsy makes this 911 call, which I didn't listen. I, of course, heard snippets here and there, but I cannot listen to it.
It's horrifying.
Well, and especially because it's bad acting. From that alone, if you just made me guess off the 911 call, I'd say they're complicit in some way. But that Patsy thinks she hangs the phone up and then they're recording what's happening in their kitchen, and the 911 operator is on the line listening and trying to listen.
Okay. Yeah.
And the thing, well, just the one thing that 911 operator said was her tone once she was like so hysterical and get someone here.
Exactly. Who are you?
Don't hang up the phone.
Right.
When your child is missing and that's your lifeline, hanging up the phone is crazy. And then B, her vocal tone changes immediately to the point where that's what gave that 911 dispatcher the creeps.
Because she's hysterical. She's freaking out. She's not answering the 911 dispatcher's questions. The minute she says, "Who are you?" she clearly says, she clearly states her name, everything. I'm the mother, and clearly gives an answer.
Yes. Suddenly the hysteria isn't so out of control.
And it's true that I like this in the CBS documentary where they said you don't hang up on a 911 call.
No, no one does.
No one hangs up. It's your lifeline.
That was the coolest part. I mean, I understand. Look, this is just like Jack the Ripper where there's so many experts now.
Yeah.
And there's so many theories that it's just out of control.
It's never going to, I don't think it'll ever be solved.
I don't know unless there's something gets dug up,
sure.
Like literally, or, you know, some hidden thing.
I didn't hear at the end of the 911 call, the hang up, what is purported to be said.
By who?
By anyone in the family. I believe the 911 operator when she says, I thought I heard Patsy say, I called the police. Now what? That sounds more believable to me than when they did the whole gimmick of slowing down the 911 call and slowing down what people heard in the background and whose voice is whose. You hear what you want to hear.
Yes. That's very true. And also that part was ludicrous because, well, it was just TV. I mean, that's the part where I was just sitting there going, oh, they're really trying to stretch this out. I bet you when they cut that other stuff in the other episodes, they had to go back and like fill time or something because that was so ludicrous. First of all, every sound editor in the world would watch that and just be like, these are the people I hate working with.
Totally.
You don't have to tell me that we need to go back and reduce the noise because clearly that's until you can hear what people are saying, we have to keep on trying to clarify the clip.
Yeah.
Like that idea that they were sitting next to that man going, bring this down and bring this up.
Do
where
this.
It's just like,
well,
the guy actually knows how to use the machine.
And the moment someone tells you what they're hearing, you hear it too.
Of course.
Even if it's not there.
And especially with something like this, where it's like, you're hearing Patsy Ramsey's voice. You're hearing John Ramsey's voice.
Yeah. But at the same time, what they're arguing by hearing Burke Ramsey's voice at the end of that is that he wasn't in bed. And I have a lot of problems with the idea that he was in bed through that whole time. Because why, when you just found out that your child is kidnapped and gone, would you let your other child be somewhere else? You would grab the other child and make sure they're by your fucking side the whole time.
That's the first thing you would do.
Yes. Why didn't he get out of bed when he heard his mom flipping the fuck out? To see what was going on, what was wrong.
Well, what he said in those interviews is he's a real deep sleeper all the time, always.
Right.
He's using words like, I'm always.
Always.
I never hear anything. I'm always a deep sleeper.
Okay.
Prepped.
Yep. So that's, why would they lie about that?
Because they're lying. Because the whole thing is bullshit. And
right.
I mean,
I agree.
That kind of thing where like the 911 dispatcher heard things that even if she didn't hear exact words, like, she was talking about the vocal tone changed. So she knows that Patsy thought the phone was hung up and suddenly the like act was dropped.
Shit.
And that's what she was hearing. Maybe she got the words wrong or right. We don't know. But like that in and of itself. Also, when Burke goes, what did you find?
Right.
That little quote, which you can hear pretty clearly, but it's like, it's such a weird little voice. Like
what did happen?
He doesn't sound scared.
No.
He doesn't sound upset. He sounds like someone that's going through that with not a lot of
worry.
Emotion.
Okay. So why would, let's say that they all had something to do with it. She wrote the 911, I mean, the ransom letter. Why would they call 911 immediately without getting rid of the body in the morning? Like, why wouldn't he have taken the body out and disposed of it?
I mean, who the fuck knows? Because I think it's because it's still their daughter. So they're not going to leave their daughter at a garbage dump. They're sure. not going to stick her in a dumpster or hide her under a log or
but
some horrible
thing. But they'll put a paintbrush up her area?
Yeah, but they didn't. I don't think they did that. They didn't talk about that in the CBS thing. But I don't. Why would he do that?
But it was. But there. From what I can tell, the problem with this case too is that there's so many things I've heard about. For example, that there was a book there was a dictionary in someone's study turned to the word incest. The only place I've ever seen that is in, you know, forums of people writing about the case. I've never seen that in a actual, you know, crime scene write up.
Yeah, that sounds like something a seventh grade girl would say.
Yeah, there's so much shit in
there
this.
Was a book. Open on the desk.
You guys, there was so much shit. There is so much shit that I'm like, well, I heard this thing was what they found, but it's not in the autopsy report. So why would it?
Yeah, it's just because it's like weird gossip because people start talking about stuff like this and suddenly it takes on a life of its own. But here's the thing I thought when they were going over all those the crime scene footage, who the fuck sees that their son killed their daughter by hitting her on the head with a flashlight, takes that flashlight, mm-hmm. sticks it on the kitchen counter, and leaves it there. That's the thing that you would dump and get rid of. And that's the thing that baffled. I kept saying, is this picture from earlier where they just yeah. know for a fact they own this flashlight?
But no, but here, but okay. Well, I'm gonna immediately argue the other way.
Do it.
Because I can and I like it.
Yes.
You're fucking freaking out. You had to start a ransom note twice, three times because you're freaking out. You don't think to move this one piece. I just don't think you think everything through. And there's no blood True. On it, as they showed by having this fucking most fucked up kid in the world hit a goddamn Oh. mannequin with pigskin and a wig.
All of that was like, all of that, I say shame on you, CBS. Because that was not necessary. It was super Gimmick. Creepy. He looked like a little child actor, but his eyes were a bit wild. The whole thing of that was gross.
Honestly, that whole time I felt so bad for the hosts because you can tell that the producer was like, you have to fucking do this.
Yes.
And both the hosts were like, I'm a fucking journalist.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking, like,
we're trying to find out actual answers.
Yeah, and you need this clip.
The lighter version of that is the cop that volunteered to get tased twice.
I wish the kid had done it.
A 6-foot cop who is 200 pounds is being tased to show what it might have been like for JonBenet, which is like, sorry, none of this equates. This is
that and when they were in a parking lot and the hosts were going to go speak to the Ramses that couldn't be recorded. And there was a whole like 5 minutes of that, of them waiting around in the parking lot for the host to come back and talk about unnecessary. The whole thing was unnecessary.
I think they were trying to be verite, but it was also, they're like, so we've got this insane interview that we've been waiting for, but the guy's like, not on camera, but I'll tell you what I know.
Yeah.
You just can't record it.
Nope.
So they need the what do you call it? Like, they need the authenticity of the fact that they got this huge get
like
of an
legitimate.
Interview.
Like, this is legitimate because we're actually speaking to them.
It also shows to me, as a person that's worked in TV for a long time, the run and gun style where you have to make up solutions on the fly. And if you were thinking it would be cool to work in TV, just go and look at Eddie Schmidt, the producer of this show, standing in the Safeway parking lot, mm-hmm. watching all the beautiful SUVs drive away yep. while he stands there with the cameraman.
For 4.5 hours, probably.
Waiting. Yeah. They ate a bunch of Safeway donuts and just kicked it, waiting to find yep. out what happened, because that's what it's really like.
And you know what? Okay, here's a fucking thing. Maybe they did talk to the fucking whites on camera and the whites said the same thing they always say, very fucking, you know, bullet pointed, and it wasn't as interesting, and so they said, let's pretend like they wouldn't speak to us.
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Well, yeah, because the thing that I was shocked by, another piece of information, was that Fleet White wrote an open letter yeah. telling John Ramsey, you need to cooperate with the police.
Totally.
That's crazy. They were The whites came over the morning of the murder.
Yeah.
They were the first group of people there after the
phony 911 call.
And Fleet White was with John Ramsey when he found JonBenet's body.
I wonder if those two people feel used as fuck.
Well, they were.
Yeah.
They were. Because that's another thing they talked about, is that's a very common thing. Invite someone in to witness you finding the body.
You don't find the body alone if you've done it.
Yes.
You bring people in to witness. Yeah, that was fucking fascinating.
Yes. It's... There's a lot of, like, if you choose to look at it through this one angle.
Right. Which I think we should do the opposite in a minute, too. I think we should look at it from an intruder angle.
But in that way, a man who has two planes, first of all, sidebar, for millionaires, a millionaire's house is kind of a shitty house. Like, it was clearly pre the declutter trend of the mid-2000s, because there was so much shit everywhere. And it was like, there was like fake autumn leaves that were plastic in a drawer that was hanging down from the top of a, like,
tacky as fuck
shelving system. It was like, what? Sorry, you're rich? What is this house? And when they went to, like, open JonBenet's bedroom door, there were all those hand marks on the outside. Did you see there? Like, finger marks or, like, kids grabbing the door. Yeah. It just was like... It was weird to me. And this whole time when they say her body was found in the wine cellar, I'm picturing a wine cellar.
No, that was the most depressing, creepy room I've ever seen.
It was
life.
A cement room where they threw old shit and maybe kept some wine. I don't know. But like it, the whole thing was, there was a lot of cognitive dissonance.
Can I tell you, when they were doing the like walkthrough of it, I was thinking, I watch a shit ton of HGTV, and the whole time I was like, well, you take down this wall and you'd open the basement up so it could be like a man cave, and it'd have an open concept thing, and the spiral staircase is so dated and unnecessary. Like, the whole time I was like thinking of the Property Brothers being like, you take this fucking wall down.
The spiral staircase, it looks like something that would be in my hometown in a house that was left over from 1965. Like, it is so weird and tacky. Yeah. And like, if you've ever gone down one of those metal spiral staircases in a house, it feels like you're going to die the
whole
time.
You're going to fall fucking face forward into the bar that's on the next spiral.
So weird. That whole part. But I guess my point actually was, super rich people like that are kind of, they're the people, they don't even fly first class. They don't fly commercial
business
at all.
Oh, wait, they get their own fucking
planes. They have private planes. They're private plane rich. These are people who think they can get away with whatever because they already are up above the fray. They're not anywhere near Judy and Johnny Lunchbell.
How crazy is it that she was 21 years old when they got married?
Yeah. And he had already had a whole family.
He was, I think he was like 16 years older than her. That means he was like in his late 30s.
Yeah.
21-year-old girl that he marries.
Yep.
I mean, we've all met 21-year-olds. They're fucking idiots.
Yeah, even that seems uncommon these days. Like, 21 is a bit of a throwback.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
So he marries this trophy wife. They have a trophy daughter. Man.
And the third place son.
All right. The third house is ugly.
Terrible.
I liked that it was told that 76% of the ransom note was
bullshit.
Erroneous.
Yeah.
Too much. All you needed was these four lines.
They're selling. They kept saying the phrase, they're selling.
They're selling it.
Yeah.
That there didn't need to be blood from the blow to the head, even though they showed it in the worst way possible. That was interesting. Also, so you see this ransom note. Letter. It says, don't call the fucking cops or we'll behead your daughter multiple times.
Yes.
The first thing they do is call the cops.
Yes.
Why is that? Even if...
Because they wrote the letter and they know it's not actually going to happen?
Even if the letter wasn't... even if they didn't do it and the letter was found, they still made so many mistakes and... And it was still a fake ransom note. No matter, that's what's so hard about it is no matter what, it was a fake ransom note.
Yes. That's 100% true.
So it's hard to be like, who wrote this ransom note? You can't be like, but it was a fake ransom note. So the parents did it. No, the ransom note was fake no matter what.
Yes. There's no small foreign faction.
No.
Kidnapping.
And the kid was already dead.
Yes.
In the basement.
Right.
So it's like, and you clearly didn't bring this. If the ransom note had been brought in, and then she was found dead, it would have been like, oh, they meant to kidnap her, but it didn't happen.
Right. Also, the point they made very early, and that is like, to me, the proof of almost everything, is you don't kidnap a six-year-old girl out of a millionaire's house and ask for $100,000.
That's insane.
The dumbest fucking part of it, where it's like, you have a living child, it's millions, you ask for millions, and you know this person's a millionaire, they talk about him, about him as if they know him so personally.
Well, they say a couple things in it, they say that get it out of your account, so they know that's how much, that he has at least that in his account.
Yeah.
Not get the fucking money no matter what you can do.
Yeah.
The other thing is get a big enough quote attaché case. Who gives a shit what size bag? You know, get a brown paper bag.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell this person that. Get this much money, period.
Yes. Well, that's clearly someone just thinking
way too hard about this.
And also believing their own shit. Like, that's that thing where instead of having the self-consciousness to go, is this believable or whatever?
Yeah.
It was just like, sit down and have a creative writing session.
Yeah. And saying, get some rest. This is going to be complicated.
It's like let's just say it was Patsy writing this thing. She sat down at
it
a
was
desk.
Patsy
she started
it.
Out.
But he might have been dictating.
He could have been dictating.
Let's
it
not
was
forget,
her handwriting.
She was a journalist major too. So she knows how to write.
Yes.
Could go on. Sorry.
No. But it is just that idea of like you get started. You're already got the adrenaline running. Some insane shit. You're in a surreal place anyway. Then you just start kind of going for it where it's you're quoting speed.
Yeah. You're
if
like,
the girl
here's
does this,
what
she does. The girl dies.
Here's what people who have seen too many movies about it think that a ransom letter is written.
What about just, can we skip to the part
yes.
where they interviewed the gardener and he talked about Patsy Ramsey coming out to talk about the OJ verdict? That part, I was like, I don't care what else happens in this thing. The idea that there's a first person eyewitness talking about Patsy Ramsey's reaction to OJ,
which is that you can get away with murder in America.
Yes. But there was also just, it was that, but then it was also just the general kind of mashup of like, this is like pop culture gone mad on my TV right now.
It's interesting how much the OJ, the Simpsons
had to do with this murder, like how much they were
affected by each other.
And, you know, I was reading some of the movie quotes and how similar they were. And there were also people online who are fucking brilliant, interesting people who say, here's when this movie showed in Boulder, like near the date of her murder, like the night before one of the movies was played on TV.
Oh my God.
November 29th, this movie was played on TV in Boulder.
Brilliant.
It's really fucking interesting.
See, that's the shit. Like that really is it's the wave of the future. It's people, armchair detectives,
web sleuths, man,
who are going to solve the big stuff.
Totally.
Because that's the kind of stuff that, you know, like if cops and all those cops that talk, like that one investigator that quit because he was like, this is disgusting.
Loved seeing him young and then seeing him interviewed.
He was hot.
Super fucking hot.
He was hot. And also just his like burning sense of justice was delicious.
Oh my God.
And he was just like,
I want him to win.
Yeah. And it's that thing of like, well, he quits. So then nothing goes forward, but then it's like, yeah, but, or he stays and goes insane or takes the fall or it's just,
or hates himself for the rest of his life because he didn't do he didn't do anything.
Right.
Quitting sometimes is like the only way you can show how passionate you are about something.
Right. It's a real political statement. And if he was told this has become a political situation, then he has to be political too. You just have to play on the playing field.
Well, them saying that everyone voted to indict the Ramseys for having some hand in JonBenet dying and the fucking police chief
just being like, no thanks.
Giving a news conference that they're not doing it.
Now, one of the very first last podcasts on the left episodes I listened to on your recommendation was their JonBenet Ramsey.
Is it two-part? Last podcast on the left has a two-part JonBenet Ramsey episode.
That's great.
Is fucking incredible.
So thoroughly researched.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. But one of the, to me, most fascinating parts was them talking about how John Ramsey is a millionaire because he's got this computer programming company or some computer something company, but that they don't really know what it does.
It has
a government contract, I believe they said. And he makes millions of dollars a year, but they can't really figure out what he does.
We got to ask Mr. Robot.
That's right.
Keeps coming back.
Mr. Robot got to shut him down.
And then we got to go to Rahm Emanuel and be like, what the fuck
are you doing later?
This happens and are you doing later?
But I just thought that was it. I love that theory because I love... There is some bigger thing at work
that's
keeping the district attorney of Boulder underneath John Ramsey's thumb. Why does he have that much power aside from just money? There's got Boulder.
Well, this is so dumb, but since watching Mr. Robot, hacking emails seems like a very easy thing to do.
Yes.
Hacking fucking internet searches. You have some shit on someone and.
So you think he did that to them?
Maybe they have some shit on the fucking chief of police, you know?
Sure.
Emails. I mean, let's go to the fucking obvious. Child pornography.
Right.
Anything.
Yeah. And he knows about it before even the police would know.
Sure.
That's fascinating. I liked how they jump straight to Patsy as an MK Ultra robot.
Yeah. I just, that. Well, I wrote... Let's go back to my L article. I wrote in it that how beautiful would it be if it was MK Ultra or if it was. God damn it, Steven.
Steven.
The moment I said MK Ultra, Steven's phone started barking and it's like the MK Ultra.
The government's trying to shut us down.
Who
we don't give
like
a fuck. We're talking about it.
Steven, you're fired.
Steven.
No, you're not.
Steven,
please.
You're rehired at a higher rate.
Yay. Elvis, you're in. Yeah, I would love it if it were that simple, that beautiful
and interesting,
and not awful. But the reality is, like, parents kill their children more than strangers kill their children or kill people's children.
Yes, it's always from the family. That's the first place they look for a reason. It's usually an inside job, and it's also the darkest choice. So it's the biggest bummer that most people don't want to look at it.
I know.
Because it's horrible. Anybody.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
I think I mean, go. It's hard to find them, actually. I was looking for them today, but the initial press interviews with John Ramsey, which you can see in the CBS doc, are cold and creepy.
Yeah, he's a real creeper. I don't think that that necessarily, like, as people have said about many people in this series, like, I think we're just learning now how people grieve, how, what they look like when they're under pressure and all this stuff.
And, you know, I agree with that all completely, but this is fucking goodbye. Let's move on.
Yes. It's very, it's so telling. Once you relook at it and, like, under, aside from thinking exactly who did it or exactly what the situation was, I just know that, like, my father, like, if you're talking about someone who just died,
your baby,
you even if you're a man and a strong man and you were in a war, you whatever, yeah, your child, you would get choked up. You just, that's your the words are coming out of your mouth and you're listening to them. If you have a total disconnect, then you give a great press conference.
Can I say, let's impart a personal part of this because people fucking love that. But when I was like 13 and on drugs and like a really bad kid, and one night I just didn't come home and my sister had dropped me off somewhere and I just went out with my fucking punk rock friends, and my parents called the police and were freaking out. And my brother later said to me, like, the next, when I finally came home and I just been on drugs all night, was like, and he lived with my dad, he said, I heard dad in the other room weeping. Weeping. And my dad's not like that.
Right.
And I fucking, that was one of the things that made me stop doing drugs.
Yeah.
So the thought of my dad weeping at me just not being home.
Right.
So the fact that he's just, I mean, I know we all react differently.
Yes.
But the reaction, his fucking demeanor is
cold.
Cold.
It's incredibly
cold.
He
doesn't put his arm around his wife who's crying.
No, there's a real, like, he has a real B of A bank manager feel to him where he's letting you know your house is getting foreclosed on.
And I don't have, I have shut myself off from other people's emotions for so long that I just don't care.
Well, and also, like, he's in business mode where this is an emergency. All the, like, emergency cord got pulled and now that's the mode he's in, and he's completely, like, compartmentalized all of everything.
The emergency garrote got pulled.
Oh, dude. That thing is such a bummer.
I think he was in the Navy.
Is that true?
He worked for a small foreign faction in the Philippines.
Is that true?
And their SBTC has something to do with the Navy.
Is that true?
It's absolutely
victory.
True.
Is signing things?
Oh, I wrote a thing.
Is signing things victory with an exclamation point?
Here's
from the Navy,
one
because
of the,
that's so stupid.
Here's okay.
Although I am changing my email signature to that. Do you dare me? I might do it right.
Oh my god,
second.
Do it. Okay, so I read
victory.
I read a bunch of shit I read a bunch of, mostly the comments on people's blog posts about what it was were fucking more interesting than the blog post.
Yes.
One of them was, it was on Web Sleuths. Someone said, on your phone keypad, the number corresponds with three or four letters. Look for SBTC. The numbers are 7282. 7282 corresponds with PATC. Pat C. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good Southern common sense of yours. It's up to you now, John. Victory for Pat C. I know.
But what is that? Victory for Patsy?
Patsy. So maybe Patsy.
No, I mean, I know it's her, but I'm, how?
I don't know. It's one of those.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
It has nothing to do with it.
Well, also, that's a really good way to make up a code.
Total, let's do it right now.
I mean,
pick one.
What's your name on
Hard
here?
Kill. Hard Kill.
Hard Kill.
All right, here. Let me write some. I wrote like a bunch of fucking thoughts. Why sign a ransom note to begin with?
Right.
Nobody signs a ransom note.
No one expects you to put your name on there.
No. Did you know there were also, and we should do a quick, like, let's do the side of it was an intruder because there's a lot of them.
Okay, let's do it.
There were 38 registered sex offenders living within 2 miles of the house in Boulder.
Yes. That's a lot.
That's a lot. And Boulder small. JonBenet had been to the pediatrician over the last 3 years of her life 27 times. That's a lot.
That's too many.
That's too many.
Wait, was Patsy some kind of weird?
She might have had Munchausen by proxy. For sure.
Yeah, okay.
That's what that says to me.
Okay.
If Patsy had nothing to do with any of it and John did, it makes sense that she's the one to, like, who, if someone makes the panic 911 call, the other person is telling them not to read the note. It says not to call.
Yes.
So one way or the other, you know what I mean?
Like, or she's being manipulated.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Patsy was manipulated this whole time. Maybe she knew some things and so she couldn't tell the truth.
Yes. I think that's what it looked like in that CNN interview where she's got pill eyes and she's going, I love my daughter with her eyes closed. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that she maybe knew some of it and agreed to it and didn't realize the extent of her husband's fucking awfulness.
But also that idea that she would be telling, she said, if we live in Boulder,
which
she said the phrase, if we live in Boulder, which I wrote down, don't they live in Boulder?
I would tell everyone in Boulder.
If we live in Boulder.
And she says, I tell my friends. So it's this like weird thing of like, who are you telling?
Yes. And she's saying, there's a killer out there. Hold your babies tight.
Yeah.
But the idea that that's a given.
Oops. Yeah.
Like, you don't have to underline that if you're this mourning mother who...
As if she didn't, because she was very protective of her children.
Yeah. Oh, you said in your L article, you said the thing about we have to stop using the word panties.
Oh, can we not?
It's so true. But you know what I thought of is Henry Lee, Dr. Henry Lee, has such a thick accent.
Yeah.
I bet you the word underwear was hard for him to say in much in the same way that I would not be able to say anything in any dialect of Chinese, and I would have to keep it pretty like clear and basic. That's what I thought of, is like, I bet panties is easier to hear than any kind of ear.
I do feel bad for, I felt bad that whole time that he needed to, that they thought he needed to be subtitled.
He did need to be subtitled.
Did he?
Yes, 100%. I never knew what he was saying.
Okay.
Because I was doing stuff around the kitchen, then I would have to turn and look back. Oh,
I always feel bad for people who get subtitles who don't really need to. I feel like it's like negging them.
It is. It feels, well, that's very American. I think that's like, it feels like on the surface shameful. But the first thing I thought of was, if I were in China, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be subtitled.
Sure.
I wouldn't be appearing.
You're right,
because
you're right.
I cannot speak.
You're right.
And I have a little bit of high school French.
Yeah.
But only about five
words. Instead of trying to speak in French, you would be like, can you just fucking subtitle my English, man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to talk. And then you subtitle all of it because, yeah. And I mean, that guy also, on top of that, I was like, I was going to say that thing about the panties. And then I'm like, wait, is that racist? Is that problematic or whatever? And then I'm like, this man is such a famous and prolific and legendary forensic pathologist.
If you don't watch true crime shit, you wouldn't know that Dr. Lee, Henry Lee, is someone that we all fucking admire. He's amazing. Everyone, the minute he's in on it, you're like, oh, this is legit.
This is legit. And also, he has a building. They went to his building with his name on the front of it to talk about some of that DNA stuff. So, like, there's no sweat off Henry Lee's back in any way.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And he's also not going to bullshit. He's not going to be paid to do a show with his opinion.
No.
Because they need a certain opinion. He's not going to lie.
No, I feel like all of those scientists really were there because, like, this thing is fucked and we need to look at it and at least just organize the paperwork.
I agree.
At the very least.
I agree. The show was great. I wish we could see the last unaired portion of it.
I want to know what they cut out.
Yeah. I think they fucked everyone over by not showing that.
But I wonder if it was stuff that Burke Ramsey's lawyers were like, go ahead and air it. We'll own CBS in a year.
What I was thinking is that the four bias docuseries before it covered so much of it already that they didn't, or were like, you know what? We don't need to add this.
Maybe except for, well, I have to see the other ones to know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, because their whole thing was like, we're going to discover all this stuff.
Or whatever.
Werner Spitz.
Oh, God, I love him.
He has a straight up Peaky Blinders haircut. If you watch Peaky Blinders, that's the same hair. Okay. The second I saw him, I was like, oh my God.
Love him. Picture him and Henry Lee putting a house together. And they just,
when people stop being polite,
and start being real. Like, that is my dream. And then, like, there's just, like, they just get, like, every morning they wake up and it's, instead of Tyra Mail, it's, like, a fucking corpse and they have to figure out what happened to it. Tyra Mail, it's a corpse. Oh, my God. How great would that be?
I mean, we should just start our own network, I feel like, because... Also, Warner Spitz guesting on Peaky Blinders.
Oh, gorgeous.
He could be the German-Irish guy that comes in and just points some stuff out.
Listen, Emmys next year, we're there.
Sure.
We're winning all of them.
We'll go down to the shrine and stand around near that Burger King.
Sure. I'll get a fucking Rent the Runway dress.
Yeah. The whole thing actually made me think of, like, all of those other cases where people, the more people talk about it, the more people hear bullshit, mm-hmm. the more, like, you know, like the, we talked about the John Mark Carr theory where he had confessed to being her killer while he was in Malaysia somewhere.
Right. To get out of
being in jail because he's a child molester who had gotten arrested for, I think, child sex tourism and knew that if he went to jail there, he would just die in a pit somewhere. And so he confessed to killing JonBenet and then was extradited.
That's really interesting.
And when he was extradited and everyone was talking about it, my sister gets a phone call from our childhood friend. I didn't tell you this.
You did, but I don't remember because I have no memory.
And she goes, oh my God, see that guy on the news right now? That's the guy from my church group I've been complaining about. And apparently John Mark Carr lived in Petaluma and was in my sister's friend's church group and was the guy that everyone's like, I want to cancel church group next week. I feel so weird. Like, he was creeping people out and super weird, super just bad vibe, suspicious. And then, I mean, how like satisfying would that be? And then you see him like, basically confessing to the murder of JonBenet Ramsey.
The minute I see him, like, you know, when there's like the clips or the trailers to a JonBenet fucking, docuseries, and I see him, I'm like, oh, this isn't legit.
No,
like, I don't want to hear about him.
No.
He has nothing to do with it aside from sensationalism.
He should just get a big red herring costume because that's all he is.
Should we? All right. I'm going to read a couple things. Felicia said she did some digging last night and feels super confident about the Burke theory. She learned some things she hadn't before. Okay, this is interesting. There was a 14-year-old girl that was sexually molested by an intruder about 9 months after JonBenet was murdered, very close to the Ramsey home. Quote, Amy was sexually assaulted in her bed by an intruder that they believe was lying in wait for 4 to 6 hours before the attack. While they were all asleep, he was never caught, and the Boulder police disregarded the mother's suggestion that he could have been the killer of JonBenet. Amy and JonBenet Ramsey attended the same dance studio.
Ew.
There are a lot of... So the fact that they had a walkthrough of their Christmas-decorated house, the Ramseys, what was it, a couple days before... the murder?
Well, it was like a public walkthrough?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
like,
that.
You know, like when you do like a haunted house Halloween.
So anyone could have been in there.
And the theory is that while the Ramseys were at a Christmas party that night, someone fucking came in, broke in, knew someone who had a key, got in and hid and waited.
Yeah. Totally possible.
And then there, like, depending on what side you want to argue, either... the window in the basement had no leaves where someone scooted in or had an undisturbed spider web.
Yeah.
Where that would have been disturbed if someone had scooted in. Like, everyone who has a fucking definitive answer about this needs to stop it because there's not one.
No, and that's the crazy, the cobweb one, watching them on that one show.
Yeah.
Going in and out where I was just like, yeah, but then there's the one time where you don't touch it at
totally.
All. And because you're really skinny because you're on meth
totally.
Or this or that. Like,
or you're careful.
1 billion. Yes, exactly. The thing that I thought was very suspicious was first of all, they're these millionaires. They have two planes.
Yeah.
But they have a broken window pane in their basement and they don't fix it. Like, I'm the most irresponsible person in the world. And when I broke my kitchen window, I fixed it within 3 days.
Yeah.
Because it's your house.
Yeah.
And it's an open window.
Yeah.
Like, it's unsafe. It's glass. And then there was somewhere in that where they, John Ramsey said that they left it like that because he locked himself out a lot.
Right.
Which is insanity.
The fact that he admitted to that being his fault, I thought was very weird.
Super weird, because to me it's like, oh, are you trying to justify if there's some latent print somewhere? Because it doesn't even, what? Get a Heida key. There's 1 million things, especially as a millionaire,
fake
that you
rock.
Could do.
Man.
Yeah. Buy a second fucking house. Like, there's all these things you could do instead of breaking a window and leaving it that way.
I thought it was really, like, there's some things that to me were like, well, if you want to argue this thing this way, you say this. If you want to argue with the, like, there's things like the taser marks. If you want it to be an intruder, it's taser marks. If you don't want it to be an intruder, it's train track, it's Burke's toy train track marks.
Yes.
Every piece of evidence can be argued either way you fucking want it to be argued.
I did think it was interesting when they argued the taser, that tasers don't put you to sleep. They actually, right, like, get your adrenaline going and, like, zap you and
make you scream.
Very much awake.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing, I think. And I think that that could point to shoddy, the super shoddy police work of that, these weird assumptions where it's like they were actually measuring it and being like, yeah, this doesn't even fit a taser shape. It doesn't.
I think the thing for me, all right, let's do our big conclusion.
Great.
I think,
because I'm so tired too.
Let's do the thing between I think the ransom letter and the 911 call, and what happened between when the cops came and her body was found, put down, and then,
ugh,
I think those
moved all over the house by neighbors and friends,
and, like, and picked up DNA all over the carpet. And I think those things are the most telling, more than anything else, and the pineapple, but also, and I think those things all point to it.
Inside job.
And it makes more sense to me that one of the three people, aside from JonBenet, in that house that night had something to do with it, more than a stranger or someone else outside of it.
Yeah.
It just makes more sense.
It does. I mean, the thing that's maddening, I guess, is that it could be a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
It could be an intruder who opened that window and saw the suitcase in the room and put it there because he was like, I'm gonna go get that little girl and take her out. There's all these things that it could be a little piece of each. But yes, I agree and believe that the ransom note is a lie and it's a fabrication, and the 911 call's bullshit. I don't buy her level. It's acting, and it's not good acting. And then the fact that that Maglite flashlight fits the hole in JonBenet's head perfectly is devastating, like, proof that, or at least devastating proof too much. But it's that thing of, like, then you, I just, it suddenly made sense of, like, she did yet another irritating thing to him, and he grabbed something nearby, threw it at her, or, like, ran behind her and cracked her with
not
it,
mean
not
to
knowing.
Fucking.
Yeah. You don't have to be, like, you know, crazy, the good son, evil child to make a terrible mistake.
To me, Patsy and Burke are Patsy's and John's
the puppet
ego.
Master.
Yeah, ego.
Well, he's going to take care of business. Like, this the worst case scenario thing happened.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's going to fix it.
And did you know that, so out of all the, they did, I really like the, when they take apart the ransom note and look letter by letter of who it matches. So, oh God, where'd it go? So all these people were, let me get my notes from under my cat. Oh God, where'd it go? Well, 100 people, their writing, their handwriting was compared to the ransom note. Everyone was cleared, and everyone keeps saying, like, well, Patsy Ramsey was inconclusive. Out of the 100 people, hers was the only one that wasn't cleared.
Yeah.
That was, quote, inconclusive.
Yeah.
She also wrote out the words $118,000.
Instead of the numbers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody fucking does that.
No one does
when
that.
When asked to rewrite the ransom note, she did that. But I also, I have so much sympathy for her.
Well, yeah, the idea that she would know that her child was murdered and then have to be a part of the cover-up, have to be the voice of the cover-up.
Yeah, the grieving mother.
And so then balance those feelings of you actually really did lose your child, but now in the name, just say if it's the Burke, in the name of your other child, you have to continue on and do this thing.
Yeah.
That's a sickening proposition.
Especially when you're someone who appearances mean so much.
Mean everything.
You and I don't give a fuck. I'm sitting fucking spread eagle right now with shorts, and I don't give a shit.
My roots need to be dyed so bad that strangers laugh at me on the street. And yeah, to be wrapped up in that world, that trapping of it is its own pageantry. It's an adult version of that, of look at my home. Look, now there are balls of shit in my daughter's bed
children.
Please look at my Christmas tree.
And you're still winning. You're still going to win the crown if you're the fucking best at it.
That's right.
It's just different.
Insanity. Also, there was that one quote where a little girl, and it's the woman that was interviewed, I call her the wine friend, that said, I was turned out, cast out from the friendship, where I was like, yeah, because you talked to fucking reporters and you clearly just like ran blabbing the second you could.
Totally.
But she said that her daughter had gone up to JonBenet's room with her one time and was looking at all the trophies and said, what are these? And she said, I just won those. But they're really my mom's.
Yeah.
Thinking, first of all, I don't buy that actually happened. That sounds like an anecdote someone would write on Twitter about their brilliant child.
Yeah.
Because it's such an old soul kind of thing, knowing that's like her commenting on the reality of her own life in a way as if she's not a part of it, to say, yes, my mother's very wrapped up in my career.
Talk about this on CBS when I'm dead.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. For a 6-year-old. Maybe if she was 8 or... I mean, who knows?
Everyone wants to make their kids seem like an old soul, but really, they're just fucking... They scream Sesame Street songs at the top of their fucking lungs.
They're new souls to everybody else in the restaurant when your child's screaming, so shut it.
Oh, no.
Was that enough JonBenet talk for everybody? I think it was a lot.
I think I'm done talking about this anymore.
Yeah, unless there's new information.
Yeah.
Cool. I would be interested in new information, but I feel like we've just hit a peak at true zenith of JonBenet reporting, and also just that it's this thing of everybody going, true crime so hot right now, true crime or whatever, where it's just like, yeah, but we don't need to keep talking about the same thing over and over.
The amount of research I've done on this person this case that I'm really very interested in, and I feel a lot of fucking sadness and pain for the victim, I feel like if I keep fucking searching it and getting into it and talking about it, I'm desecrating her fucking memory. And I can't keep looking at fucking autopsy photos.
No. It's also, it's not good for your brain.
No.
Like, it's not, you're not related. You don't work on it. You don't put yourself through it. I saw a picture on Twitter moments this morning because there was nothing. I was up at like 6 and there was nothing going on Twitter. Yeah. So I made the grave mistake of touching the moments button and seeing what the story was there.
That was a thing.
And it said something about JonBenet, but the picture was one where I was like, is this Angelina Jolie? Like, her mouth is open and her head is tipped back and she's got all kinds of fucking makeup on and her hair's brushed away from her head. So you can see like her tall forehead and she truly looks like she's 20 and it is such a sexual picture.
Yeah.
And that's the picture Twitter moments chose to use as the JonBenet headline picture. Not the cute one where she's got the little bangs and the little hat and she just looks like she's on vacation. Yeah. It was like she might as well have been like grabbing her own neck. It was such a sexual like perfume commercial.
Let's stop doing this. Let's stop it.
It's gross.
To her. Poor baby.
I mean, it's not going to stop though, because it's so fucking salacious and it's so mysterious.
She is a sweet... We're going to file her away as a sweet baby angel and she... We'll be in your and mine and my favorite murderer's hearts, and we feel awful and wish it would be solved, but it's not. It's just not. There's not. But even if it gets solved, people are going to say it's a fucking conspiracy.
Right. Yeah.
Keep your babies close.
And keep your foreign factions even closer.
Dude.
the punk rock band.
And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Bye.
Elvis, want a cookie? Want a cookie? Bye. Want a cookie?
Good boy.